go a little bit higher in Jesus' name. Is that all right with anybody in here? We just want to dance and clap our hands in Jesus' name. But we're covered by the blood. Hey! We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. Come on and clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
Clap your hands.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. Johnny Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Now, as we turn our attention to your word, meet us in the text. Tell me the truth that you have us to know, operate in, and the Holy Ghost in his perfect preaching power minister to us today. And then God will be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. As you speak to our hearts this day, in Jesus' name we pray, amen,
amen
and amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Romans chapter 14 and verse 16 as our launching scripture. Romans chapter 14 and verse 16 is our launching scripture. And it reads best simply, let not then your good be evil spoken of. May the Lord add a blessing to you.
Wow.
Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. I just won't speak from the subject. Watch how you do what you do. Watch how you do what you do. Scripture is going to be quite clear in telling you it's not always what you do, but it's how you do what you do that can bring evil upon good. One of the things that I like about this letter to the church at Rome, and Paul deals with this letter, and he begins in this 14th chapter, and he backs up in verse 12, and he says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Right.
So the first thing I want us to focus on is accountability. Now, what you do and how you do what you do, you may not have to answer to me, and you may not have to answer to someone else, but let's be clear about what the Word of God says. You are going to have to answer to God.
Amen.
Listen at this word again. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to who?
God.
To God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block of an offense to fall in his brother's way. Let me share something with us right here today, because when his word talks about let us not therefore judge one another anymore, God pulls every place, every opportunity, everything that you think you can say about a brother or a sister that may not measure up to your standards away from you, when he brings into focus the fact that since you are not perfect, you're not in a place nor a position to judge before the judge. Now, if you are not in position to judge before the judge, then it means that you don't have a right to cast your opinion or your judgment on somebody else who may not be up to your standard. Because here is a newsflash. You have not yet become perfected in his eyes. Now, I like the way he says, again, look at this part. Let us not therefore judge one another when? It's almost like he's reading your mail. He knows you're still judging people. He knows in conversation. He knows in relationship. He knows on your job. He knows at school. He knows in the things that you say and do that you're still doing. And so he issues a warning to the believer, don't do it anymore. Now listen at this, because this is important. That no man also put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, how many of us will be honest and say that we've got friends, we've got family, we've got folk we know, and we know of their weaknesses? Come on, let's be real now. I mean, because the people who can push your buttons know the buttons to push, because they're your weak buttons. They're the buttons that will cause you to cause them to fall. If they don't fall, it'll cause them to stumble. It'll cause them to be set back. It'll cause them to be out of place of righteousness. And all of us know somebody who knows somebody, or somebody knows us who knows that if they push the right button, they can make us mad, they can make us glad, they can make us mess up, they can make us do some things that we probably wouldn't done, had we would not have done had we not been provoked. So accountability comes into focus, because just because you may be stronger than that brother or sister in that area doesn't give you right to put a stumbling block. And it amazes me how saints, believers, church folk can know others' shortcomings and fallings, and then out of some sense of sick game plan, say, look, I bet I can make them do such and such. Or they know that that's an occasion to stumble, and they do that anyway. Brother just came out of rehab, just got off of drugs, just got out of drinking, just got out of this, and he's holy before God now, giving his life, washing the blood, living a holy life. But you want to pretend that his shout is falling.
Come on, Pastor God.
So you set him up with some other church folk. And you test his weakness to see whether or not he's really what he say he is. And he is what he say he is, even though he may not do what he's supposed to do. And we set up an occasion to stumble or to fall just to prove a point that he's not perfected yet. Well, I got news for you. If you set him up, get ready to be set up. That God allows you, because he knows your weakness and will allow someone else to push your button, to pull your chain, to cause you to miss it as well, because it is not within the rights of believers to try and find fault or to cause fault in one another. Listen at this again. It says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Listen at this. But if thy brother be grieved by thy meat, listen, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. And I want to show, because he deals with this liberty that believers have, and all of us are not in the same spiritual place. There are some who are far more mature, they're new are babes in Christ. We don't quite understand the full word of the Lord. And so therefore, there are many of them are walking by tradition, tradition of men, traditions that they've heard, maybe even traditions in the church. And you've been liberated because the word has given you revelation and illumination above that state of tradition. So you're walking and living on a whole nother level. But there's somebody who's not where you are. And here in this occasion, Paul uses me as a common reality of how those who are mature in the faith cause those who are immature in the faith to stumble because they took their liberty and made it an occasion to sin, because though there was nothing wrong with the meat itself, because the brother of low degree, the brother who was immature and did not know the full grace under which we operate, did not think that he could eat meat, and to see you eat meat causes him to stumble and wonder why you, who are supposed to be more in Christ, more mature, would do that when he think it's wrong. And so you're doing it in his presence, not that it's wrong, but if it's in his presence wrong and you do it, you hinder him and hurt him, even though nothing was wrong with you doing it, had you not done it in his face. See, again, you got to watch how you do what you do, because even though Paul was saying meat wasn't wrong and sinful and evil, but to know your brother who thinks it is wrong and sinful for you to eat, and you know it's not wrong and sinful to eat, to do it just to prove a point to him will cause him to stumble because he isn't where you are. And so oftentimes in our walk in this world of Christendom, many of us in many different places choose to flaunt our liberties before those who have not come to the place of understanding and recognize, one, the accountability that God has placed on us all. Listen at this, because I want you to see this again. Paul makes clear when he speaks to the church at Rome. Verse 15 says, but if thy brother be grieved with who, me? Your me. Listen at this. Now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. In other words, Paul is really saying, is it really that important for you to eat the meat in front of your brother? You can't eat it in a private place if it's going to cause him to stumble, the one whom the Lord Jesus Christ died for. Is it that important for you to flaunt what you've got in front of him if it's going to make him weak? You see, that's why sometimes you can't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. See, that's wisdom. You got to know, just because you're blessed, you can't show nor tell everybody. Because everybody can't handle it. Ain't nothing wrong with your blessings. You didn't steal them. You didn't rob nobody. You didn't get them by wrong measures or wrong ways. But because everybody isn't like you are or where you are, they may not understand, because they've come up with the notion that it don't take but one. And all access is evil and stingy and greedy. When you read the word of God, understand the word of God, God is a God of abundance, of increase, of blessings, of multi this and multi that. But if the brother or sister has not graduated and been educated and brought to the understanding that God wants you to be abundantly blessed so that through you he can bless others, how can you bless somebody when you ain't blessed yourself?
Come on.
But if they can't handle your blessings, you don't flaunt your blessings in their face, because that's what the devil will use to turn them away from the Lord, whom Christ died for. That brother doesn't see it now, but let him get stronger in the word. That sister doesn't understand it right now, but let her grow stronger in the word. And when she grows stronger, and when he grows stronger, and they begin to mature and to develop and understand the principles of God's word, then they'll understand how God moves and he operates and he blesses and he works. But don't let what you've got hinder a brother or sister, because they're not where you are yet. And so he moves on to verse 16 and says, let not then your good, somebody say your good.
Your good.
Now listen at this. It's all right when your evil is evil spoken of. Because that's right. Evil ought to be spoken of evil things. But here Paul is saying, don't let it get twisted. We're talking about your blessings, not your burden. We're talking about your riches and your righteousness. We're not talking about evil things of the world. So don't get this thing twisted. It's talking about the things God has blessed you with or put you in position to enjoy. Do not let them become things evil spoken of. Now let me throw this out here for free. Some folk you just can't stop. Some folk you just can't stop. Now who are these folk you just can't stop? The folk that go looking for it. That folk that try to find out. The folk that want to always be up in your business. See, I think it like this. When folk go looking for stuff, they want to find out stuff. And they get to see whatever it is they want to see when they go looking for it. So the Lord ain't really said you have to hide your blessings. So if they come looking for them, let them see what they see. And it's on them and it ain't on you. But here's where Paul talked about when you're flaunting it in the face of those who can't handle what God has blessed you with, when it will do damage to their walk in Christ. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Why? Look at what he goes on to say in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat. Listen. And drink, translated, is not material things. You are blessed because you are in right standing with God. You are flowing in the principles of God. You are walking in the truth of God. You are blessed because it is God's good pleasure to bless you. But your blessings don't dictate the righteousness of God. Because you've got some dope pushers and some worldly folk who's got more worldly stuff than most believers have. It don't mean that they are blessed. Means that they've worked within the wealth system of this world and they've learned how to get their share of it. But when you're really blessed, it's God giving it to you and giving you the joy to enjoy it at the same time. So listen at this again. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Look at this. You really want to know what the real meaning of good is and blessings are? It is right there, righteousness. Because the Bible says God will not hold any good thing from those who walk up rightly, which is righteousness in operation before him. He's not going to hold any good thing back from you. So righteousness brings riches. But look at what he goes on to say. He says, and peace. Do you know what a joy it is to be blessed and didn't have to steal it? Didn't have to embezzle it. Didn't have to con nobody out of it. Didn't have to do nothing underhanded. Didn't have to lay down so you could get up. Get y'all question on the way home. I mean, you didn't have to twist your morals, or you didn't have to do anything that God would frown on. And so what you got peace with it. The Bible says a little bit that the righteous have is better than the wicked, the riches of the wicked. When you got peace with what you got, you won't talk about really being blessed. Look at what he goes on to say. Don't stop at peace. He says, and joy. Joy. See, you really can't have joy without Jesus, and Jesus is the byproduct of joy. Joy is the byproduct of Jesus. You got one, you got the other. See, folk confuse joy with happiness. And we've already shared with you, happiness comes from happenings, and that's an external reality. But joy is an inward spiritual reality. You can have joy going through sorrow. Going through sorrow. They're diametrically opposite. They work against one another, but joy can work in either arena. See, you can have joy while things are good, and you can have joy while things are bad, and in both arenas, you can shout anyhow. God, I wish I had somebody. And that's why the world doesn't understand the right. righteousness of God, when the world wants you to give back and the world wants you to do the same thing that they've done to you, and the world try to provoke you unto evil, but you maintain your ways before the Lord, and then God gives you peace because he's already told you the battle is not yours, it's his. God's already told you no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper. God's already told you don't worry about revenge. I got this thing. I'll get them back. And when you got the peace that God's going to fix this thing for you, somebody in the house. But that joy comes in the Holy Ghost, who is your guide and who is your God. He's the one called alongside you to help you in times of trouble. He's got your back, your front, your top, your bottom, your in and your out. All of this, look at this word here again, is in the Holy Ghost. My brothers and my sisters, when you begin to understand the true riches of being in Christ, this stuff don't matter. It ain't enough of this stuff to make you hurt your brother or sister, cause them to fall. This stuff don't mean nothing to you, because what God did once, he can do it again. You need to be able to tell your brother, man, look, don't get caught up on the stuff. It's the source you need to get caught up on. Because if all of this stuff were taken away, it's only to make room for the best that's yet to come. So the folk get caught up on the wrong things, and they miss God. Look at this word here. We're bringing it to a close. It says, verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. When your priorities are correct and focused and straight, listen to this. You're going to be in a place where God and man both find it well with you. When you do it the way God says do it, if he's happy with you, he'll make man. If your ways please him, he'll make your enemies be at peace with you. They may not like you, but they won't be able to do nothing with you.
All right.
Because the righteousness of God lives in you so much so that God himself handles the situations that come against you. Look at this, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Look again. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. What are you following after? The things that make for conflict? The things that make for competition? But what do you follow after? The record is you need to follow after the things that make for peace, which means the word of God and the things of God, doing it God's way. Not just what you do, but how you do what you do. See, you can know all the scripture in the world, but if you quote it like you're a know-it-all, rather than asking the Holy Ghost to give you the scripture that's going to minister to the man or woman who's in need of a word from the Lord, so that they will see the Lord and not you, then they won't twist the thing and say, you know, I hate every time so-and-so come in with his scripture quote himself, telling me I'm quote 25 scriptures, trying to show me he know the word or she know the word. They get twisted up in what you were trying to do, because it all became about you demonstrating your ability to quote scripture, rather than to listen to the Holy Ghost and listen to the person that's in pain and let the Holy Ghost give you the word that will minister to their heart. You see, you got good and you're doing good, but you're doing it and it's being evil spoken of by how you're doing it. See, folk don't always hate you because of what you got. They hate you because of the way you act with what you got. You don't know how to act in your Cadillac. They ain't hating on you because you got a new Lincoln, but they hating because you sin in your lead.
Like this is the last and first one they built, and I got it, and you can't get it. You're all that if you ain't all that. And if you are all like that, you ain't got to act. But on the flip side of that, don't let it get twisted. Don't pretend to be something that you are not as well.
Oh, what are you talking about, Rich? Well, you know, there's some people who are not rich, but they try to act like they're rich. They ain't got much, but they try to act like they got much. You know, they aren't certain things, but they are represented as though they are those things. Now, true enough, clothes don't really make the man or the woman.
All right.
Well, I looked at something, and I think that is true for some of them. You know, I'm just keeping it real. Y'all are all holding it now. All right? But here's the truth of that matter. If you are who you are in the clothes, then the reality of the personality will speak louder than the color of the cut of the clothing. But let me flip the script for a moment. If you aren't what the world thinks you are, then don't dress like that. See, you can't always act like the world just because you're in the world. Just because you're in the world and you're a believer means you're not of the world, of their mentality, of their thinking, of their branding. So that means if I'm a child of God, if I'm a child of the King, then my dress should be appropriate. But let me just go on and say what I really want to say. Sisters, my beautiful Nubian princesses out. If you ain't a hoochie, don't dress like me.